try to preach my final sermon directed mainly to the youth. That's anybody from Sister Lane's age on down, as I've said. And we've talked about the fact that there's absolute truth, and it absolute truth is set by God. And that involves many, many things, not the least of which is morality. I'm very thankful to say that the moral code was set by God, and it's not up to us to try to figure it out. Can you imagine how confused we would be if all of us were to try to figure out what's right and wrong all the time? I'm thankful God set the moral code, aren't you? And the moral code does not change. What pleases God as far as what's right and wrong does not change. And last Sunday I tried to talk about how we're to deal with others maybe that don't agree with us. You know, the world's gone crazy about being offended. And let's just face it, that believing the truth about God, and specifically believing the truth that there's a right and wrong that's not up to us, that is going to offend some, but that doesn't mean we can cave in. We should stand for what's right, and we should be as nice as we can about it. And Jesus Christ had the same issue, you know. What he taught offended some people. He even asked him, said, "Does this offend you?" Remember? And then some of them didn't follow him anymore. But today I want to close out, and I don't usually do this. My sermon today is on the J word. The J word. You know what the J word is? Judge. Judging. Judgment. That's almost as bad as some other words we're not allowed to say, that when we say them, we say the first letter of the word and then, you know. Well, the J word. Well, we went to John and Brandy's, and I don't usually do this, and I'm a little embarrassed. Went to John and Brandy's ugly sweater party, and this is the one that, can y'all read that? This is the one Becky bought for me. Can y'all read that? Hey, Santa, stop judging me. Well, why wouldn't we want Santa not to judge us since we don't want God to? Right? I don't want... Of course, I know Santa Claus is a myth and all that, but I mean, that shirt's kind of funny. I don't think that shirt would have even been possible if we didn't have this radical culture out here that you're never supposed to judge anybody about anything. And you know how many people who don't even believe in the Bible, who don't read it, are sure willing to quote that verse in John where it says, "Judge not." They don't quote any more of it than that. Just judge not. They don't quote the rest of it. They don't pay attention to the context of it. They lift that little part out of the Bible and they use it to teach something that God's Word does not teach. Are you with me? So, judgment. Eventually, I want to get to what Christ taught when he told us to judge righteous judgment. It'll take me a little while to get there. And I want to, and I stole a lot of what I want to tell you today from the brainiac Dolph Painter. I just stole some of it, and any preacher that's worth his salt will steal a sermon any chance he gets. He will do it. You know, and I know what you're thinking. Well, I thought the Bible says don't steal. Well, there's times it's okay to steal too. I don't usually do this either. I'm just nervous this morning. I could use your prayer so badly. I don't usually quote Martin Luther King. You know, he did some good stuff, did some bad stuff. He's just like all the rest of us. But on this idea of nobody is supposed to judge anybody about anything under any circumstances, you remember his quote from the I Have a Dream speech? Here, I'm gonna read the first little dab of it. He said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged." Is that where he stopped? That is not where he stopped. There's more to that quote than that. He was not, he had no desire for this nation to become a nation where no one is judged. That was not his desire, nor should it be ours. And I know the young people, I know they have a, we were under pressure as young people to some degree, but the pressure that young people are under nowadays is almost inconceivable to me. Martin Luther King did not say, I have a dream that my four little children will one day be live in a nation where they will not be judged. He said, they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Say amen, church. I mean, so he was not wanting his children not to be judged at all. He was wanting them to be judged by the content of their character. That's how I want my children judged. Amen. That's how I want to be judged. And the minute I say that, my knees knock that I will be judged failing by the content of my character. Now the other question is, how do I judge a person by the content of their character even? Do I not, if I'm going to do that, do I not have to have a standard somewhere by which to measure it? Do I not? Okay. I want to divide this sermon into two probably unequal parts. First of all, I want to try to show you by a little bit of logic, and I'd rather preach to you about Christmas. I sure would. I would love to be talking to you today about the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would love to tell you how he was born king. Isn't it amazing how people are waiting for Christ to be king? People think Christ isn't going to be king till the end of time. The Bible says he was born king. You want to know why he was born king? Because he was king before he was born. Anyway, that's what I'd really like to talk to you about. But it is not my lot. Two parts. First of all, I want to show you how ridiculous it would be if there were such a thing as a society without judgment. And then the second part of this unequal sermon, I hope, will be Christ's command to us to judge righteous judgment and how we are to do that. Now let's think for just a second. We all make judgments every day. Every day we make judgments. I made a judgment earlier this week to buy this necktie. My criteria were, did I like it? And was it cheap? Most important of those being, was it cheap? I'm not going to pay full price for a tie. We all make judgments all the time, don't we? You got up this morning, you made a judgment about what to do, about lunch, dinner, where you're going, how to dress, didn't you? We make judgments all the time. The idea that there's such a thing as a culture or a society without judgment is ridiculous, preposterous in the extreme. It's just crazy. And I know that's mean. Becky tells me all the time, you sound so mean. Well, it is crazy, though. All right. Four scenarios. I stole these from Dolph the Brainiac Painter. One, how do coaches decide whom to keep on the team and whom to cut? How do coaches decide that? Do they flip a coin? Draw straws? Or do they not make a proper, educated, informed judgment on who stays on the team and who doesn't make it? Are you with me? How many of you would want to play on a team where the coach makes the decision by the flip of a coin who plays and who doesn't? Anybody want to volunteer to play on that team? Don't we want him to make a proper judgment? Okay, now what does he, and I never was much of an athlete. I was always too wormy and so forth. And by the way, that also reminds me of something. Young people, listen. There's a lie you're told all the time, and that lie is you can be anything you want to be. That is unmitigated malarkey. I weighed 135 pounds. I did, Brother Harold. Not now. Did. Brother Harold's all the time making fun of me about being overweight. It makes me so mad. Because he's not.
6 years old?
I was older than 6 years old. When I was in junior high and high, I weighed 135 pounds. I was poor, wormy. You know what I decided in ninth grade? No more football. You can't be anything you want to be. That's just ridiculous. You set your mind to it? No, you can't be. Okay, enough of that. Enough of that. That's not what I want to talk about. So the coach, when the coach makes a decision, what does he do? Does he flip a coin? No, sir. He makes a judgment on talent, skill, proficiency, right? That's how he decides. Amen? Gary Harvey didn't have the talent. He didn't have the skill. He didn't weigh enough. I had the heart. I wanted to. Are you with me? All right, now what happens? What happens in the scenario in which a coach has two players who are of relatively equal talent and skill and ability and proficiency? Now what does the coach do? He might narrow it down to which of those individuals has the best hustle, right? Which of those individuals gives it his all? And he might even include, as a standard of measurement, which one of those individuals has the best team spirit, right? Would you all agree that all those are standards by which a coach would decide who is on the team and who starts and who does not? Would you all agree with that? Wouldn't it make everybody in the world mad if the coach just flipped coins, drew straws, didn't have a standard, just did whatever he wanted? No one would like that. How absurd would it be if there was no judgment in that realm? Number two, how do companies decide whom to hire? You flip a coin? No, if we're going to get rid of judgment, just flip a coin, right? No judgment, flip a coin. Who are we going to hire? Flip a coin. Draw a straw. Right? Do companies do that? No. You know what they do? They make proper, I would hope, they make proper, educated, wise judgments on whom to hire. I'll go back to the talent and the skill. Right? Did you know experience helps, doesn't it? Is that mean? No, that's not mean. You want someone to do this job and do it well. What about hustle on the job? Wouldn't that help? What about a team spirit? How many of you have ever worked a job and person X over here griped all the time about everything? Gripe, gripe, gripe. Y'all ever have that happen? And the other person over here does the same thing, but they do it with a happy heart and a happy spirit and an upbeat attitude. Which of those do you think is the one that ought to be hired? What do you think? Are these arbitrary? No, these are just standards by which people that hire people decide whom to hire, and it's an honorable thing. Now let me make it a little more. This is going to make me unpopular. Oh well. What if you have two candidates, you're wanting to hire somebody, and you have two candidates, both of whom are female? This is going to make me unpopular. Please don't be offended. And one of them's goth and tattooed and pierced and a bone in her nose. And the other is a clean-cut, well-dressed lady. And they both have equal qualifications. I know this makes me very unpopular. Which one of those do you think the employer might lean toward to best represent his company? Not trying to be mean. I'm just saying there are standards, right? Y'all see what I'm saying? What's he just gonna flip a coin? No, he's gonna make a judgment, a proper judgment, based on some criteria, right? All right, number three. How do teachers decide whom to pass? How's that happen? Flip a coin? Draw straws? Is that how teachers decide whom to pass? If a teacher does his or her job right, the student pretty much decides whether they pass or not. Say amen. That's kind of the way it is. But are there not standards that the teacher sets? Saw a funny comic when I was looking at this. I was researching this and doing a little bit of work on it. And this young lad is standing by the side of the desk of the teacher, and he says to the teacher, "I think your system is biased in favor of those who answer test questions correctly." Our system's biased toward that. What do you think? I remember one time I saw another one that said this little boy standing there and he's shown his grade card to his daddy, and his daddy said, "These failing grades are unacceptable. They're simply going to have to lower the standard some more." More truth than poetry there. How do teachers righteously decide who passes and who does not? Obviously, they don't just flip a coin. I would think talent, skill, hustle, team spirit, attitude with which something, all of those things factor in, right? When I was a teacher, we gave the yearly awards to the best student in each category. And all I ever did was give the award to the student with the highest GPA. Even if it was 1/1000th of a point, it was the highest GPA. My likes didn't even factor into it. Y'all with me? In fact, one time I had a skater dude won the physics award. Skater dude. Back in the days when there were skater dudes. He was about as skinny as I was, wore pants about 42 inches and wrapped them around him twice. And when I gave the award to that boy, I confessed to the whole school that he had made me confess up to some biases that I, as a teacher, had. He smoked physics. Anyway, But, in other words, whether I liked him or not, I liked him. I wish he'd dressed different. But, you know, that is irrelevant. What was the standard? Y'all follow what I'm saying? There's got to be, we make judgments all the time. And teachers make judgments. And then, let me ask, number four. How do people decide whom to marry? Flip a coin? Draw straws? I know. Get on The Bachelor. That's how you do it. Lord helps right, whoever said that. And that show is sickening, isn't it? It's absolutely sickening. Well, you don't need to know, Parson. Ooh. How do you decide whom to marry? Now, some of us are so handsome, it's easy. Brother Harold says amen. However, the standard better include something other than that. Say amen. I would love to say to all the young women in the world, does he have a job? Will he work? I know, that's horrible. Well, I said that with a loud voice. I'm not mad. I just wish to be heard. the sorry devil won't work, ladies, say hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. That's terrible to say. I'm not talking about if he, I know there's times when we all have problems and lose our jobs and stuff like that. I'm talking about if you won't. If you won't. How do we decide whom to marry? I don't think we just flip a coin. I don't think it's arbitrary, is it? There better be a standard. Now, I want to say about that. I know of young ladies and young men who make lengthy lists of their requirements. And I'm not saying don't make a list. I am saying you might have to be a little, there might be an item or two on that list you may have to, you know, adjust yourself on. Right? It's great to have a high standard, but it can't be too unrealistic either. Are you with me? But look, how do we decide whom to marry? Well, it's not arbitrary, is it? Don't we? Do not the young ladies of the world need to exercise some godly biblical judgment in whom they marry? And do not the young men of the world need to exercise some godly biblical authoritative standard-based judgment on whom they marry? Wouldn't the world be better off? Who wants a world without any judgment? Who wants that? The only time we want that is when we want to do something that we're not supposed to do. Right? So when we were talking about ethics and morality two Sundays ago, and we were talking about, we were talking about sexuality and gender and all these things that are such red button crazy topics. Well, I promise you, when you say there's only two genders, that's it. Genetics proves it. People are going to think you're being judgmental. And you might even hear somebody say, well, now, judge, don't judge. Well, hang on. And when you say, when you understand that what marriage means, right? Well, now, don't judge. Right? And when you say that homosexuality is a sexual sin, don't judge. You'll hear that. And that's taking a verse out in the Bible way out of context. The Bible's absolutely clear about every one of those issues that I just mentioned. Would you agree with that? The Bible is clear on all of those issues that I just mentioned. In other words, God has given us the standard we go by how to measure on those issues. Are you with me? But it's the J word. The dreaded J word, right? Well, when it comes to young men choosing young women and young women choosing young men. Now, I'm not saying that love should not be part of it. That's ridiculous. I'm not saying that love should not be part of it. I'm saying that the content of his or her character may also factor into your decision. Would you agree with that? Martin Luther King said that he wanted his daughters judged by the content of their character. Character makes a lot of difference, doesn't it, my friends? Now, how are we going to judge character? Now, that's the next question. If I'm going to judge your character, or you're going to judge mine, if I'm going to make an effort to judge my own, by the way, we'd be smart if we made an effort to judge our own. Well, there's an interesting thing. How are you going to judge your own character? How are you going to do that? That's a toughie. Because you've got to some degree, stand divorced from yourself and look at yourself. You know? All right, how, let me ask you, how in the world are you going to sit in judgment on yourself? How are you going to do that? Well, the only way you can do that is if you've got a measure, a standard of measurement that's outside yourself. Are you with me? A standard of measurement that does not alter. A standard of measurement that goes for everybody. I tell you, I'd rather be talking to you about Jesus Christ and his birth or the atonement, but I tell you right now, having thought about this for weeks now, I am so thankful that God gave us a standard of morality and didn't leave it to us to make it up. Or try to figure it out, all us billions of people, look at the world we live in now. The world we live in now is in such a mess because people try to figure it out on their own rather than going by what God says is morally right. Wouldn't you agree with that? Who would want a world without judgment? I don't think anybody would, if we think about it right. Now, the reason I don't want Santa Claus to judge me is I want everything I want for Christmas, right? I want everything I want. It doesn't matter whether I've been naughty or nice. In fact, I want it. Even if I've been naughty, I still want it. Right? I do not want my naughtiness to keep me from getting anything. I want everything I want, including my naughtiness. Right? Come on now. Aren't we awful? In and of ourselves, in and of our fallen nature, that's what we are. Praise God, he's given us something new inside when he gave us eternal life that we can fight that. And by the way, since I mentioned that, let me also tell you that when God gave you that new creature inside, guess what he did? He wrote his laws in there. These eternal laws I'm describing, God wrote them in your heart when he gave you eternal life. And that's how you know the difference. Because God wrote those laws in your heart. You didn't do that. God did it. And then as a result of that, we have the capacity and the ability and the privilege of writing those laws in our hearts and learning more and more and more about them, about how we're supposed to behave ourselves. And that is the way you have a good life. I didn't say that is the way you have a life free of problems. There's no such thing as that. It is hocus pocus to think that you live your life godly, you're not going to have problems. That's hocus pocus. Nothing to it. You're going to have problems in the world. You shall have tribulation. Jesus Christ himself said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Okay, now, that's part one of my sermon. Now I want to switch to the other part, if the Lord would help me. And once again, can I commend you on being such a great congregation? I'm afraid that most congregations would have walked out long since after hearing the rantings and ravings of such a crazy man. But anyway, now I want you to turn with me to John 7 and 24. I've already quoted that verse in Matthew chapter 5 or 6 or 7. The one that's so misquoted by people, judge not that you be not judged. So misquoted, so misapplied. Let me tell you what I think that means. While you turn to John chapter 7, that verse over there in Matthew which says, judge not that you be not judged, there's two points I would make about that. One, we have no right to be judging and trying to determine who's going to go to hell and who isn't. We do not have the right nor the capacity. Never in the Bible are we told to decide who's going to go to hell. Jesus Christ knew that. I don't know that. You do not know what is in the heart of a person. They may be acting mean, doing bad stuff. You still don't know what's in their heart. Now, there's going to be people in hell. Going to be just exactly ever how many people there should be in hell. That's how many's going to be there. Same with who's going to go to heaven. Exactly the number they're supposed to be in heaven. That's who's going to be there. But it's not up to us to go around trying to figure that out. In fact, I'll go so far as to say, it's far easier for me and you to judge a person that's going to heaven than a person that's going to hell. How do I judge the person that's going to heaven? If I see the fruit of the Spirit in them. That's how. If I see the fruit of the Spirit in a person, I know the Spirit must be there first in order to produce those fruit. That's how I know they're a child of God. So I would say I can know they're a child of God far better than I can know the other. Are you with me? Now, the other thing I think that means, when it says, judge not that you be not judged, it says, if you're judging somebody for doing something, and you are guilty of the same thing, be careful judging them, lest you condemn yourself. You want to tell you a Bible person that did that? King David. King David did that. He passed judgment on the hypothetical person, and he was actually passing judgment on himself while he did that. Y'all remember that story? That's all the time I've got for that. That's what judge not that you be not judged means. It does not mean, young people, that you don't have a right to judge the behaviors of others by God's holy word. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that you don't have the right to judge your own behavior and your own thoughts and everything by the measurement of God's holy word. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean we're not supposed to have judgment in the classroom, on the basketball court. It doesn't mean that at all. Are you with me? Now, with that in mind, here's what Christ said, John 7:24. Judge not according to appearance. Judge not according to the appearance. You know what? Now that I think of, well, okay, I'm going to leave that. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, here is a commandment of Jesus Christ himself that we are to make judgments. And not just any old kind of judgment. By the way, why would Christ tell us to judge righteous judgment if it were not possible for us to judge unrighteous judgment? Is it not possible for me and you to make judgments that aren't right? Let me tell you, when we do that, when we get away from God's standard, that's when we have the tendency to do that. Or when we do what we feel like. I want to get to that in a minute too. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's a commandment of Almighty God. So anytime I had a student that would tell me, I'd tell my students they shouldn't do stuff. I might not should have done that. But I did, especially if I knew them well. I'd say, you should not do that. And they would say to me, judge not, Mr. Harvey. And I said, Jesus Christ also said, judge righteous judgment. Now, you're going to quote both of those, young person? In other words, they're going to quote the Bible at me. I'm going to fire back. If they're going to give me Matthew 5, I'm going to fire back with John chapter 7. Balance that out. Both those verses are in the Bible. Judge not that you be not judged. And this one right here where Jesus Christ commands us to judge righteous judgment. We are commanded to do it. We are commanded to do it. To judge righteous judgment. How am I going to do that? Well, I've got to have a righteous standard. Where do I get a righteous standard? I don't get it from the fallen angels. I don't get a righteous standard from the human race. I don't get a righteous standard from the government, the Senate. I don't get it from the UN. I get it from Almighty God. That's where the righteous standard is. Are you with me? Now, okay. Why do we need it so bad? Okay, Proverbs 21. I found this the other day. I don't know if Becky and I were reading. I don't remember now. But Proverbs 21:2. Listen to this. Proverbs 21:2. Well, you can turn to it. I'll give you time. Proverbs 21:2. Aren't you wonderful? You want to read in the Bible? You've been well taught for many, 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 many decades. Proverbs 21:2. Y'all with me? Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Wow. Are you hearing what that's saying? That is saying an individual in and of him or herself alone, without God, without a standard of measurement, whatever they do is right in their own eyes. Every way of a man is right in his own. Doesn't matter what you do. If it's what you want to do, you say, well, this is right for me to do. Right? Any of that going on in the world? Y'all see any of that going on? Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But we're not talking about what is right in the eyes of man. What we need to know is what is right in the eyes of God. That's what we need to know. That's how we measure. Now, if that is true, what Solomon says there is true, that every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Now, again, that's man without God, without... If that's true, I ask you, If everything a man does is right in his own eyes, same thing for a lady, if that's true, do we or do we not desperately need some kind of standard by which to judge all this stuff? Do we not? I mean, it's what God has done in giving us a moral standard and an ethical standard is an absolute tremendous blessing. He did it for our good. He did it to preserve us. So Jesus says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. One reason we need to do that is because everything a man wants to do, he'll justify it. Let's confess that too. How much do we justify what we want to do? How much? What kind of tendency do we have to justify whatever it is we want to do? Are you guilty? I'm guilty. I raise my hands. I'm guilty. I've done it. It's not right. Now, I want to read you one more place, and that is John, back up to John 5. The dreaded J word. This will be the last place I'll read, I think. John chapter 5, verse 30. Now, before I read this, would you all agree with me? Can we all agree that Jesus Christ is our example in all things? He's the great example. He's our great high priest. He established our goings. He set the proper example in every area of life. In everything. Right? Even Sunday or two ago when we were talking about what Christ did when what he said offended people. He's our standard there. When what we believe and what we stand for offends others, if what we stand for offends them, we can't help it. The manner in which we stand for it, now we got to be careful about that. We can't be mean in that. But what did Christ do? Did Christ stop teaching the truth because it offended some people? He did not. He kept teaching the truth because it was the standard of his Father. Now here's what he said. Listen to this. Under all this judgment now, verse 30 of John chapter 5, I can of mine own self do nothing. What he means by that is, I don't do anything I do alone. I do everything I do under the leadership and to please and honor and according to the will of my heavenly Father. I can of mine own self do nothing. Remember, he even said in another place, my doctrine is not mine. Y'all remember that, right? My doctrine is not mine. It was his doctrine, but it did not originate with him. He got it from God the Father. Even his doctrine. Since I mentioned that, let me just go on record and tell you, we better get our doctrine from God the Father too. We better get our doctrine from Christ. It better not be man-made doctrine. Since I said that, one man-made doctrine is the idea that Christ isn't going to be king till the end of time. Christ isn't going to be king till the end of time. That's when he's going to sit on his throne. Nope, sorry. He was born king. See? Now that excludes that. Christ is king now. He's your king, not a vending machine. He's not, you don't just put money in Christ and just get whatever you want. Nope. He's the one telling us what to do. I can of mine own self do nothing. Notice this. As I hear, I judge. Okay, so how did Christ judge? He judged according to what he heard from his heavenly Father. Please notice, Christ does not say, as I feel, I judge. Boy, too many people judge according to how they feel. Have you ever noticed how many people interviewed all they're asking is how they feel about something? How do you feel about this? What? As if how we feel is the ultimate what matters the most. What matters the most? Now, do not misunderstand. I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. You with me? I don't even want to feel hungry. I'm terrible about that. I wish I didn't want food as much. I was talking to Chris about this. I just wish I didn't want food as much as I do. I get up from a meal looking forward to the next one. It's ridiculous. But how we feel about things better not be the standard by which we measure. Y'all with me? Jesus didn't say, as I feel, I judge. As I hear, I judge. Okay, how are we going to... Jesus Christ commands us to judge righteous judgment. How are we going to do it? Are we going to do it according to how we feel? Or are we going to do it according to what God says? What God's Word says? As we hear from God, as we hear from His Word. Is that how we're going to judge? I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Now, why can Jesus Christ say my judgment is just? Because He was judging according to the standard of Almighty God. Is it possible for us to do judgment that is not just? Absolutely. Let me tell you when we do that. When we do not judge according to God's Word, we make judgments that are unjust. Listen, all of the people in the world that tell you not to judge are telling you to judge unjust judgment. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you the way it is. Well, I don't want to embarrass Becky. But back to this, how do you judge, how do you decide who to marry? You say, boy, first of all, she was real cute. But she was a good person. Amen. I'm not trying to embarrass her. Now, I made a really good judgment. Her, not so good.
Amen.
Well, that was mean of Brother Harold. But I'm going to tell you, well, okay, I'll just leave that alone. I made a good judgment, she not so good. I'm just saying. Okay, where'd that come from, I don't know. Well, that's enough of that. As I hear, I judge. That's how you can judge, young people, as you hear from God's Word, as you read it in God's Word, as you use the standard of Almighty God. That's how you can make judgment. Jesus said, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. The reason His judgment was just, it was according to the rules of Almighty God. And then He said, notice, because I seek not mine own will. See, when he was saying, I can of mine own self do nothing, he didn't mean that he didn't have the authority. He's saying, I'm doing this according to the will of the Father. I'm not doing this just independently. You know what? You want to know when we get off track? When we go off independently outside the will of God, that's when we get off track. Jesus said, the reason I'm doing all this, the reason I do it right, the reason I judge righteous judgment is because I don't seek mine own will. Right? That's the rub right there, isn't it? So many people that tell you don't be judging them are seeking their own will, not the will of God. It's what they want, not the will of God. They just want to justify what they want. They don't want you telling them what they're doing is wrong. Look, I don't even want to be told what I'm doing is wrong. Come on now. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now that's how you judge righteous judgment. Well, this sermon is over. And I want to commend you all for your vast patience. I appreciate you with all my heart. We're going to sing two verses as an invitational hymn of how firm a foundation on 146, because this is the foundation.